they talk about it as though it's some type of protection, that they're protecting it from thieves and heathens, and that they're going to save it in some way, that it's somehow like a victim to things, which, to be honest, every square inch of land that has seen a human is in some way, shape, or form a victim. And I am an environmentalist to that degree. I am completely pro-human, super excited about the idea that there are ways to, and there certainly are from the beginning of time, there have been ways, and I can say that in a very spiritual way from my mom and our family's teachings, also just from a deep religious feeling, but that's from the beginning of time. There were things that are put on this earth and on this planet to the benefit of growth and mm-hmm. humans and also animals. There's trees to be eaten,
now,
and animals will do this. There's plants to be eaten, and humans and animals will do this. This is how the world renews itself.
I want to ask about that, though, because one of the counter arguments to monument repeal, or monument shrinkage, rather, is that extractive industries like oil and gas and uranium will come onto the land and really harm it. What do you say to people who are really worried about, say, uranium mine coming in or oil and gas wells?
Well, so the beautiful thing about, I don't want, there's two different arguments that I have about this. I have, I've seen the benefits and the industry that mining has brought to the area, and not just Utah and not just our area, but to the Navajo reservation. And I've studied this my whole life because I live so close to it. And I'm wondering, as I drive through these very, very barren and vast lands, how do people live? How do they make an income? Where do they go for work? And while it's not probably that, well, in the past, it hasn't always been monitored and treated as carefully as it should have been. I know that there are long-term illnesses and different things like that that are caused by, I guess I would say, for lack of a better word, careless extraction that is just kind of, you know, but that is something that exists there. And it's also something that has advanced pretty heavily in the past several decades, where they have enough, I feel like they have a lot more safety mechanisms and health care mechanisms and different things like that that are acknowledging this and changing it. It's kind of like when, you know, for a comparison, when they had like every single person with an ashtray in their vehicle. Now we're looking at that 25 years later going, what were we thinking? And so that part of it does need to be acknowledged. Absolutely, there will be healthcare issues that are surfacing from several years of, you know, ashtray and vehicle mentality. And that is, you know, to the detriment of our humankind. I'm certain of it. However, to our benefit, we learn and we advance and we create different ways to make this better. That being said, when people are freaking out about the uranium, I know that, and I've done tours at these mills. I've visited with several of their safety people. I know many of their employees firsthand. I grew up with them. This uranium mill is just 10 miles south of where my home is. And so I know the heart of these people, and I know what their efforts are in safety. And I know that they too want to return to their families every night, and they too want to live a long and healthy life. And the shocking thing is that for some reason, the press doesn't acknowledge the fact that if there was a potential gold mine to be tapped in this area, do they not think that we would have acknowledged that maybe 15 or 20 years ago? Maybe even 30 years ago.
Are you saying that, like,
it was there,
all the resources that may be there, people kind of already know about at this point? Is that what you're saying?
They've made those attempts. Mm-hmm. They have gone out and they have, yes, they absolutely have tried. That was the industry at the time, and that is what the world was living off of. That's probably what kept us alive. I mean, we can't disacknowledge the, you know, World War II efforts that we made in having this and making us great again. You know, that's what, how how the world worked at the time. And at that time, there was exploration, there was extraction, and it was done at an incredible rate. And it was experienced here as well. There was a boom in this community and a population boom that we are now just a shadow of as far as population and growth, but it did occur here. And you'll see old mines, and you'll find, you know, different closed areas, mm-hmm. and it happened. Now, the beauty of what Bears Ears looks like now is that, yeah, there's some closed mines scattered out through it. Somebody had attempted, but the geology of the land is not going to allow that, period. It is not, one, it's not safe, which is why many of these places are no longer extracting. Two, the amount of money that it takes to extract it versus what you're extracting is completely off balance. It's not accessible enough to make it profitable enough for somebody to desire it.
So there's so many things that go into this question of whether there should be a monument or not. And there, you know, you've brought up a lot of different points. In general, in just a few sentences, what more needs to be done to protect the land?
Well, as it sits now, we have a Department of Interior that has two small monuments that have been resized by President Trump. I feel like what could be done to protect the land is look at why and how it was pristine from the beginning, the responsible use, the things that that can help the land as far as forestry, as far as grazing. And yes, those do help the land. I know that that's not the argument out there, but they do. And acknowledge those things and promote that kind of dialogue instead of don't touch it, stay away from it, and then I'm going to charge you $10,000 to take you on a private tour to show you exactly where those secret places are that we've been trying so hard to protect. And that's kind of the mentality of what a monument was edging towards, is we're going to, you know, start closing it off to the real use of the land and start selling the things. And that's it is selling it.
Hmm.
It's just a different method of selling it. And that's how I feel about the monument declaration. So having it rescinded, or not rescinded, but resized to the point that it is the right thing to do. And it just, I think it's a lot more respectful to the land. And from my Native American standpoint, from the things that I believe in land and ownership and respect, part of Mother Earth's desire is to care for and provide for her children. We are her children, and we are part of that. We eat, sleep, live, breathe, and then die into Mother Nature. To say to us that we're going to lock up this land and not be allowed on it goes against everything that I am taught as a Native American, and I'm completely appalled that I'm disappointed. I shouldn't say appalled. I know that there are different reasons and motivations for their persuasion, but I am disappointed that Native American tribes would stand behind the idea of not just shutting down Mother Nature.
Eva Clark Workman is the secretary of the grassroots organization Stewards of San Juan. She lives in Blanding. Eva, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.